Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Tony Maradero.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne équipe. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Année pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs. John, you found the dogs. He found the dogs.
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Monday, May 29. It is 1 minute past 10 o'clock, and we're going to get to Eric Engels, our regular collaborator on Monday nights, in just a second. In case you're not watching, I can tell you that the Vegas Golden Knights are up by a score of 4-0 after two periods of play versus the Dallas Stars in game six of this semifinal, with, of course, Vegas leading 3-2, and they are 20 minutes away from wrapping it up and booking themselves an appointment with the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. All right. Okay. So it's the Sick Podcast, brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, recently named by Deloitte and CIBC, one of Canada's best managed companies, the country's leading business award, recognizing innovative and world-class companies. The best managed Canadian companies designation fuels Energy's purpose of creating progress for their customers, their employees, and of course, the community. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also, these babies right here, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards, La Bita TV offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bita TV, embrace your true nature. And brought to you in part by Murphy Clinic, an aesthetic clinic specializing in medical aesthetic care. They offer permanent laser hair removal, as well as a wide range of treatments for skin problems such as acne, rosacea, fine lines, and more. They currently have two clinics, one located in Montreal's Shopangas and the second on the North Shore in Terrebonne. They're also opening soon in Quebec City. Isn't that good news? Visit murphyclinic.ca or on Instagram at Murphy Clinic. As a matter of fact, I went down for the first time a couple of weeks ago with my buddy Jean-Charles Lajoie of BPM Sport and TVA Sport. He did laser on his chest, and I did laser on parts of my face and my armpits. You see? No hair. God for life. Odor free. It won't be odor free, but there's a lot less odor, of course, when you don't have hair under your armpits than when you do. I highly recommend it, by the way. It almost felt like an armpit massage. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right. We have our guy. Let's get to him right now. He's a regular once again on Monday nights. Eric Engels, what's going on with you? There he is. But is it possible that he's not talking? I don't hear you, but is it possible? I don't understand how we can't fix this when we're not on the air. No, I don't hear you. But is it me or is it him?
I was muted.
You were muted. Okay.
First time on Zoom. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. What do you mean first time on Zoom?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
3 years later.
Yeah, we don't use Zoom, by the way. We use another website. But anyway, we use another website. Hey, what's going on? You watching the game?
I'm watching the game. I mean, I kind of have one eye on the game because, honestly, it's not much of a game worth watching.
Okay.
Should put on the basketball one eye on the game at this point.
And you got one eye on me or you got one eye on your girlfriend? What's the story?
No, I got both of them on you. I got both of them.
Okay. Very, very good. Very good.
You're too beautiful to look away from.
You know what? Thank you very much. That's what I hear. It would, in a way, a game seven would have been nice. But at the same time, if there's a game seven, then you would think that Vegas would have little left for the final. So this one looks like we're 19 minutes away from it being over, and I'm happy like that. So we can get on our way to the Stanley Cup final and it'll be Vegas versus Florida, and that'll be a lot of fun. I know this one's not over yet, but who do you got? I mean, I got to ask you because the next time I talk to you probably be a week from today. So who do you got, Vegas or Florida?
Come on. Dallas could score four goals and come back here.
Four goals. Stop.
I don't even want to make a prediction. I predicted Carolina and Dallas would be the teams in the Stanley Cup final, and they both got basically smoked. I mean, nice effort by Dallas to win a couple games in a row, but they're getting pounded now that Vegas has had enough. And I don't know. I don't really know. It's hard to bet against Florida, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah, I think I had the Rangers versus Dallas. So I was a lot worse than you. And then when the Rangers went out, I thought at that point when the Rangers went out and when Boston got eliminated and when Colorado got eliminated all in round one, I thought it was Toronto's cup to lose. And they lost it.
Do we count Vegas's experience, you know, going to the Stanley Cup final, losing to Washington, given the turnover on their roster as like an edge against Florida? I don't really think it matters all that much.
So you're saying the experience of a team that's actually gone further over the past couple of years.
It's 5-0 and they're going to go now.
Yeah, they're going to go now as if they weren't going before when it was 4-0. Was it 2-0?
You never know. We've seen crazy things in this sport. They're not scoring 5 goals. That's that. I could, 4 was almost believable. But 5 now to come back and then in a 6th win in a row.
What a way to burst the balloon in Dallas, though. To put 5 by them, that's unbelievable.
It's too bad their two worst performances of these playoffs and perhaps their season were in front of their own fans. Last time, they didn't like it very much and threw a bunch of shit on the ice. Tonight, it's amazing the ice isn't littered down 5-0 in an elimination game. It's not good.
You would think that Florida is going to win the Stanley Cup at this point. Why? Because Vegas is better than Florida, and so was Boston, and so was Toronto, and so was Carolina. So you would think that Florida is going to win.
I really don't know.
If the Stanley Cup playoffs ended today, Bobrovsky or Matthew Tkachuk for the Conn Smythe?
It's not even, to me, close. It's Bobrovsky all the way.
It's not even close?
No, not for me. Listen,
I think it's a debate.
I know.
I mean, doesn't Matthew Tkachuk have 4 game-winning goals or something?
It is a debate, and people say that Alex Lyon started the playoffs. But the Florida Panthers, with Bob in their net, I mean, those games that they played against Toronto and against Carolina, they were heavily outchanced and outshot, and Bobrovsky was the difference. And yes, Matthew Tkachuk came out with a couple of huge goals. And if you want to argue that, or I guess it's 3 huge goals, right? He's had 3 game winners.
Yeah, it's 3, I think.
You know, if you want to argue that Alex Lyon started the playoffs, you know, Matthew Tkachuk also went 6 or 7 games in a row without a goal. You're not taking away from anything. I mean, put them on different teams and going through opposite runs here, and they both be candidates to be the guy. You know what I mean? Like, they were up against each other playing for different teams. Like, then there would be even more of an argument about who should win the Conn Smythe between them if Florida wins the cup.
Yeah, I know
he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he really has been. I know it's May 29th, but we got plenty of Montreal Canadiens topics to talk about. Spent a couple of hours with Caden Gooley yesterday, by the way.
He's a very, very nice young man.
Nice is an understatement. I mean, this guy's the real deal. There we go. Huh? What a beauty, huh? Wow. Caden looks good, too.
He's a lucky guy, Caden.
Yeah. No, with that, we were hanging out at La Tornade, a sports card store, of course. Chris joins us every now and then, and there you go. There's the sick team.
What a crew. Yvon Lambert there.
Yeah, and Yvon Lambert is there as well. And we haven't officially welcomed Shane to the team yet. But Shane is in the picture, and I guess we're going to have to because he's in the picture. You know what I mean? But So.
What were your impressions of Caden? What did you think? What did you guys talk about? What did you think?
I just one of the things I think I can share is he was very, very attentive of watching Canada at the World Junior at the World Hockey Championships, and I brought up Andre Tourigny's name. And he's got so much respect for Andre Tourigny. He's like, he said, you know where you stand with him. Like, he's as honest as they come. And I think you've come to know Andre pretty well with the collaborations that he does as well on BPM Sports Radio. And I've come to know him very well. And he's been on the podcast before. And, you know, Andre Tourigny is a good man. And obviously, you know, he's got to be a good coach because Hockey Canada keep on going back to him in different tournaments. And he keeps on coming back with medals. So
he's a very detail-oriented guy who thinks in three dimension. He's a really, really smart guy. And it was really interesting doing radio with him this year, you know, in his first language and my second in French. And I found myself during segments kind of just sitting back and listening to the way he breaks down a certain scenario or the way he sees things, not only from an opposition standpoint to the Canadians, but just in terms of the inside of the game. And, you know, you would expect no less of a guy who's coaching an NHL hockey team. His track record got him there, and he's done nothing but prove that he belongs there. There's a lot of people that have been in issues before that are junior level coaches that exceeded to the National Hockey League and had some moderate success, but weren't necessarily made to be in those heavy shoes to wear. I think Andre Tourigny has proven, especially with the results he got at Arizona this year, where, you know, I would have expected them to be way lower down in the lottery standings. You know, he's really done a good job, and he's a really, really bright guy.
He really is, and good for him. And speaking of the World Hockey Championships, I mean, you know, what a competition for Samuel Montembeau. And I said earlier this evening on GEC at TVA Sports that, you know what, I got my opinions, and sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong. And, you know, I like patting myself on the back when I'm right, but I have no problem telling you when I'm wrong. You know, the first time I saw Samuel Montembeau play for the Montreal Canadiens, I said to my buddies, and I think I even said on the air, like, I'm not sure this guy's an NHL goalie. Like, he looks like a number three, and number threes usually don't start in the National Hockey League, right? So this guy's not only an NHL goalie, after what he showed us this year and what he showed us at the World Hockey Championships, I'm starting to think this guy's ceiling is a lot higher than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that's the most logical conclusion pretty much anybody can come up with. You weren't alone, obviously, in that thought that when he first came to Montreal, it was, is this guy actually an NHL goalie or a guy that could spot in, you know, 5-6 games a year and that'll be that. And, you know, a lot of those people, maybe perhaps, you know, like yourself or unlike yourself, were the same people who were suggesting after like a 5-game sample this year that he should be the starting goalie over Jake Allen. And then obviously he continued to play well and play better and play, you know, and deserve those types of minutes. But it was just a funny thing that happened this year. Count me among those who didn't have high expectations. Count me among those even before the World Championships that would have suggested, I think what he showed this year is that he has the potential to be a really solid 1B. Now I wouldn't put it past him to become a 1A, you know, maybe by a little bit of an edge, but a really good 1A. And I'll tell you why. You know, I thought his season was excellent and good enough to be able to show that he can fill that kind of half starter role. The difference here is the opportunity to go play for Canada set him up for a different stage of development, and that he was playing under significant pressure, the type that he didn't face at all this season in Montreal. There was, I don't want to say there was no pressure, because he had the pressure to prove himself as an NHL goaltender and prove that he was worthy of more and more ice time and prove that he was worthy of back-to-back starts and all those things. And he put a ton of pressure on himself in those situations. But this is a different type of pressure playing for
tournament Team Canada. Format. Winning is important.
Yeah. And why does it matter? Because he did win. And he was the best player for Canada the entire tournament. There's not even a debate about this. Just like I was saying about Bobrovsky and Tkachuk, where there is a much more of a debate, I don't think there's much of a debate.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Was the best player. It was Sam Montembeau.
This looked like one of the weakest teams they've had on paper in a long, long time. Like, I had a hard time getting into this tournament. There was very little sex appeal to it.
Yeah, it's kind of what I love about hockey, right? Like, it's not the best team on paper that wins. I mean, we're in the midst of watching the summation of a Stanley Cup tournament where, you know, two of the three teams remaining were all three teams remaining. Actually, I saw this today, were the least bet on teams of the 16 participating in the playoffs to win the cup. One of them's going to do it. And Florida was leading the pack, obviously, as the least bet on team to win the cup as the last entrant to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, that's what it is. Like, the paper roster, you can throw it in the garbage. It's about chemistry, and it's about coming together and playing your best at a time where the pressure's on. And I love seeing what Team Canada did in that situation. And they had an interesting road, obviously, to the final in Austria and Germany. But they had a great game against the Finns, and coming back to it, Montembeau was the difference, and he was their best player. So such great experience for this kid. And what I love is that he's got the ability to tell everybody who's doubted him along the way that, like, yeah, you know, you'll keep saying I'm a 1B or I'm this and that. I mean, I'll show you what I can do. And what an opportunity he seized here.
Yeah, if you I don't know if you saw Cole Caulfield. I want to get to him on Instagram. Was it on Instagram? He was on social. I think it was on Instagram. Petting his dog. Did you see that? He was with his dog. And
he must have missed it.
Yeah, he was. Oh, you got to see this. He's with his dog. I don't know if it was on Instagram or on Twitter. I think it was on Instagram. He's with his dog. And he was trolling Habs fans. So, you know, some people were typing out questions like, if you're going to sign with the Habs, pet your dog. Or if you're, you know, but and at times he wouldn't, and at times he would. And both times, like, he would laugh. There was a lot of trolling that was going on. It was pretty funny. But, you know, a buddy of mine said to me yesterday, do you think Cole Caulfield will get offer sheeted? And I said, I don't think so. And he said, what if he does? And I said, well, you have to match. And then he said, and, you know, what if it's big money? And I said, well, you have to match. And then he said, yeah, but you can get X amount of draft picks if you don't match an offer sheet, right? And I said, are you going to get a goal scorer like Cole Caulfield back?
It's not guaranteed, right? It's not guaranteed.
No, it's not guaranteed.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think the offer sheet thing is a thing, really. If it happens, I don't know if it would necessarily be doing the Canadians a disservice. We'll see. I highly doubt that. I would suggest that Pat Brisson and Cole Caulfield are not soliciting offer sheets, that's for sure. And you know, every time we come on and we talk about this subject, I say the same thing. I sound like a broken record. Like, there's just no rush on any of this other than Canadians fans dying to see it happen as soon as possible so they don't have to think about it anymore. But, like,
but I, you know, there's no rush, but I got to say this. I there's sometimes, like, there's things that go through my gut, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, for everyone who says, he's, you know, he'll end up making Suzuki kind of money or more than Suzuki or this or that or whatever, I don't know what he's going to sign, but I think if he would have made more money than Suzuki's contract of 7.8, whatever it was, that was signed a couple of years ago by Bergeron, would have been done all right. I don't think he's going to get that money. I don't think they're going to give him that money. The longer they wait here, I think the more chance there is that he'll get less than Nick Suzuki's contract. It's my gut feeling.
Yeah, there's a balance to this, and you may very well be right. It could end up being a little bit more just based on the fact that Suzuki's deal was signed 2 years ago and the cap is going to go up after this season, if not by this summer, knowing kind of what negotiations might go down. You know, we know that it's $1 million. There are reports that it could get to $2.5-3 million this year based on certain negotiations that wouldn't necessarily affect escrow. And after this year, escrow will be done and the cap will go up significantly. So you have to factor those things in. I think whether it's a little bit less than Suzuki, a little bit more than Suzuki, if both sides are committed to a long-term deal, which it seems both are interested in those things, they'll find common ground and sign it. It'll get done. I think people see the lag in it. that the season ended 6 weeks ago or whatever it is, and it's not done. So I understand the concern, but I just negotiations involving tens of millions of dollars, they end up ending when there's something that pushes them to an end. You know what I mean? Like, typically it does revolve around a certain deadline, and the deadline, as I've said, like a million times now, maybe this is the last time you and I should even discuss it, because I think people will get bored of my take. You know, it's I'm sure they'd love to get it done tomorrow. Would they love to get it done by July 1st? Yes, yes. Will it necessarily get done before training camp starts? That's the main hope, you know, and the real deadline is that the game one of the season. They don't want to go into the season without Caulfield playing in the lineup, and Caulfield doesn't want to go into the season without Caulfield playing in the lineup. So I have to think that between between any minute right now and September 15th or whatever it is when they report for camp, I think this deal will get done, and I don't think it'll be an issue.
I'm not sure if we have it. I think we do. Do we have Anthony Martineau of TVA Sport touching base with a development coach with SKA over in Russia, SKA? Do we have that? If so, can we bring it up?
KHL teams cannot force anybody to stay against their will once their contract is up. If you look at SKA, since I've been at SKA, how many players have left from SKA to go play in the NHL? All the high-end Russian players end up in the NHL. SKA does not hold players against their will. SKA has contracts with players that, of course, have to be respected from both sides. But outside of that, players are free to move and sign as they wish.
All right. How does that make you feel? What do you think?
I kind of have two reactions to that. The first is that the way he says it, it almost sounds like there are some KHL teams that do hold their players back, which obviously, you know, I think we're all aware that it's not a slam dunk that when a player is under contract, that as soon as the contract is done, he's on his way.
Yeah.
With a transfer agreement or whatever. The other thing is, you know, good work by the young reporter, you know, speaking to somebody who's closer to the situation, getting rid of a lot of the natural biases that are in the marketplace from the fans and even probably from some people who are in and around the game but not necessarily involved in these decisions, wondering, you know, what's the deal with this kid. Listen,
Martineau is amazing. Hey, by the way, Anthony Martineau is very, very good at what he does.
Yeah,
listen, I'm glad you gave him credit, because he's really hardworking. And you know what? Everyone is here speculating what the Canadians will do if Michkov is available, and everyone's speculating if Michkov will get out or won't get out or this or that or whatever. And you know, this guy's digging, and he tried to get us an answer. And he touched base with the assistant coach of the team, Daniel Bochner. That's pretty good work. Now, what I got out of it, my interpretation was Daniel Bochner is saying the player and the club have to respect the contract. Basically, he's saying that Michkov will be there until the end of his contract in 2026. Having said that, he says after, all the best players usually end up leaving Russia to go play in the National Hockey League. So if you would put two and two together, it almost sounds like, you know, he'll be here until 2026. And then after that, he'll make his way to the National Hockey League.
So here's what I'm going to say. Everything is about timelines. And ultimately, the talent and ability, not just talent, but ability of the player to become the best pro 3 years down the line, the best player, the most impactful player 3 years down the line. And if the Canadians assess that Matvei Michkov is available at five, and they have the opportunity to draft him versus someone else, and they feel that he has the ability to become the best player 3 years down the line over any of the other ones they're considering at that point, they'll draft him. You know, I've spoken to people inside the game that are of that opinion, that, you know, are scouts, that are assistant general managers. Ultimately, they're in a kind of a premium position, depending they can take advantage of it, like with Nick Bobrov's, you know, citizenship and his ability to have ties within Russia. You know, that's one angle. I have no idea what Marty Lapointe's ability is to do those things, but I have to think he's got tentacles everywhere around the National Hockey League, given what his job title has been for the last number of years. So look, you know, like the Canadians, I'm going to put it this way. If they don't pick this player and end up picking somebody else, if that player is available, if Michkov is available and they don't end up taking him and they take somebody else, you have to think they'll have done their homework, and there's more hinging on the decision for them than anybody. Like, there's a lot of fans out there who are like, he's the most talented player, and if you don't take him, and it's insane. They'll have done the research, and maybe they'll end up being wrong in the end if they decide to turn away from him and go for somebody else. But we won't know until 3 to 5
years. We do know that up until this point, right now, he is arguably this. Well, he's probably the second best pure talent.
We know it's arguable.
Yeah. But
that is arguable. And even beyond that,
doesn't translate to him having a better career than the guy who's going to go fifth or sixth.
This is my problem with it, is that there's a lot more that goes into the assessment than just raw talent. If it was purely about raw talent and talent and ability, you know, like Nikita Filatov would have
6-0 Vegas. 6-0.
I see it. Wow. Nikita Filatov would have turned into an NHL superstar if it was just about talent. You know what I mean? There's a lot that goes into it. I have no doubt. And I'm not talking about, like, I don't want anybody to misperceive what I'm saying as if, like, Russians are low character and this. There's tons of amazing Russian players who have proven to be some of the highest quality character players in National Hockey League history. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, everyone is so obsessed with the talent. And I agree, it should be the number one component in why you draft a player. But ultimately, if four teams end up passing on this kid, it won't just be because, 3 years from now, everybody expects that he's going to come 3 years from now. So it's almost a non-factor. Like, it's almost a non-factor. So
Patrick Waugh's name is still in the news. What do you think? I mean, your boy, Elliot Friedman.
I think if he wants to coach.
He believes that that Columbus has reached out.
Yeah, I think if he wants to coach in Columbus, that opportunity will be on the table for him, provided he interviews and they feel he's the right man for the job above whoever else they're considering. You know, I do believe Patrick Roy would like to not have his NHL chapter close the way it did in Colorado. I think he has had ambitions in the past and continues to have ambitions to rejoin the NHL, and most likely as a coach, despite perception that it was a power struggle in Colorado and he wanted to control everything. I think he just really wanted to have his seat at the table.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if there is an opportunity for him in Columbus, he has to decide if that's where he'd like to be to resume his NHL career, because it's a bit of a long build for that team too. They've got a lot of good talent coming up the ranks, but it's going to be a long build.
Yeah, look, I don't even know if I asked you about this, last week, so I apologize if I did. When you get older, you tend to forget a few things. Did I ask you your opinion on the possibility of Marc Bergevin going to the Leafs? Because it's gaining more traction.
A lengthy discussion about it. He's not
believed to have had a second interview, not yet anyway. We have heard that his interview was on Zoom. We heard that Tree Leaving had one in person.
Yeah,
and there are other candidates as well.
I think it's clear that Brad Tree Living is the leading candidate for that job, and I think it'll come down to negotiations and what he wants to do it, and whether or not he wants to continue in as hot of a market as like the one that he was just in Calgary times two. But I would have to think that he's top of the list, and as I said last week,
you think Tree Living did a better job in Calgary than Bergevin did in Montreal?
I think he did a really similar job at the peak end of where both teams were going to be. Like Mark before 2021, like getting to that run, he did a fantastic, like I could see it and a lot of people could see it, that he built that team for the playoffs, and that if they could make it there, they would surprise a lot of people and potentially go very far, and they did. It wasn't lucky. It wasn't, the Canadian division. They deserve to be where they were in 2021. Nobody played better team hockey than they did until they ran into the one team that did, which was Tampa. I think Mark did a great job that year, and I think Tree did a very similar job in Calgary. He built all the pieces you would need to have a contending team. And I'm talking before the Matthew Tkachuk trade. Like, go back the 2 years, that bubble year that Montreal made the playoffs, Calgary was built to go all the way. And for whatever reason, because of the COVID circumstances, I think in large part, they got off to an awful start to the season and couldn't find any type of rhythm. And like, they were just a completely perplexing team. Like, you just look at them and you're just like, why is this team so bad and so screwed up when they should be a Stanley Cup contender? And you know what? Three of the last 3 years, basically, this year included, where they missed the playoffs in a very similar fashion in 2021, they should have been there. They should have been a Stanley Cup contender the way they were built. So I think it's very similar, actually, the work that they've done.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look at my phone right now, Eric, to see how many times I have the Dallas Stars going far or going to the final or whatever. And
in your bets?
Yeah.
That's why I don't bet on hockey, Tony. I did. I had a great run
$10, Eric. Two team parlay.
Yeah.
Miami Heat to win the NBA championship.
Yeah.
And the Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup.
I know. You brought this up to me last time. Yeah. Your memory really is going, man. We talked about we could throw that one in.
I was just going to see if I could cash out. I can't even cash out. Like, if I could cash out, I was going to take like 2 pennies. You know what I mean? But I can't. Yeah. So forget about it now, baby. Yeah, because the Miami Heat, by the way, not only are the Dallas Stars losing 6-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights as we speak, but the Miami Heat versus the Boston Celtics in this very, very huge Game 7 in Boston are up 90-71. Is that right? Is it 90-71? 90-71 with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Who's up that? The Heat?
The Heat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a buddy at the game. He's a diehard Heat fan.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
Thankful that they didn't blow a 4-0 series lead.
Listen, 3-0 series lead.
4-0
would be over. Yeah, I said this. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. Look, most podcasts are pretty much going to shut things down in the next week or two. We're not going to do that. We're going to continue to bring you programming, but we're probably going to have abbreviated shows. So the shows are not going to be an hour. They're going to be, they'll be 30 minutes, pretty much guaranteed. They'll be at least 30 minutes. And, some of them might actually even be recorded, but we'll upload them at the regular time. So just in all transparency, I'll tell you that right now. It's our way of being able to take a little vacation too, right? For example, if I go on vacation, I can do this at 10 o'clock at night. But if I go on vacation and I decide to go to Europe, well, 10 p.m. at night is like, what is it? It's 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Are you still in the contest with GSA? Are you doing more?
No, the contest ended. We had, I think it was 57 or 58 days to lose a certain amount of weight. My goal for the contest, that is, because my goal is a pretty big number, but my goal for the contest was to lose at least 25 pounds, and his goal was to lose at least 21. And if we were both going to hit it, then great, we're both winners. And if one of us was going to fall short, we had to jog around the block on Laurier in St. Vitor,
wearing a
jock strap. Yeah. So I said I was going to lose 25. I lost 30 on the nose.
Yeah.
And and JC said he was going to lose 21 and he lost 20.4.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. He was 0.6 short.
Was he down 21 like 3 days before that?
And if you could actually see through the jock strap, it's he wasn't only 0.6 short in weight. He was.
Oh man.
He was short.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's probably.
I can't be a part of these shots being taken.
Yeah, I probably should go out.
I don't want them attributed to my name.
Well, I know what you're saying, and what am I thinking at this time? But I was thinking the kids are asleep. All right, man. Hey, listen. Always fun. Thanks for doing this. Because if you take a look at the weather, and it still must be beautiful outside, right?
I'm going for a walk right now.
Good for you. All right, have a good time. Thanks, Abe, for going a little overtime. Appreciate it. Thank you. Peace. All right. Wait, I told him we'd go like 10:30 to we're a little overtime. We're about 10:34, but we're going to get to, you know what? I'll get to a couple of questions. I'll get to a couple of your questions on YouTube Live. bringing back Jamie Benn was a mistake. It's easy to say. If they would have won the game, you wouldn't have said it. They lose the game, bringing back Jamie Benn was a mistake. But it doesn't look like he's getting much ice time. I think he's got about 12 minutes so far. Jamie Benn was invisible. Yeah, he was. Please continue with the guests over the summer, says Kelly. We will. And, we're going to continue. We're going to go with a bunch of guests. Like a bunch of guests. Not just the collaborators. Others coming in. Tony, Vegas for Florida with the cup. Well, logic would say Vegas, but there's nothing logical about the Stanley Cup playoffs, so you'd have to say Florida. I mean, if Bobrovsky keeps on standing on his head, I mean, he'll get to Vegas the way he got to Boston, the way he got to Toronto, and the way he got to Carolina. Will there be a draft day special? We'd like to, but we don't know where we're going to be. You know, we don't know where we're going to be. I know Salmon and Yellow are going to be, I think they're going to be in Florida. The draft's in Nashville. We're going to try and do something. Alfred, if the Flyers offer sheet Cole to a real offer sheet, $10 million a year, that means you'll be getting the next first four round picks. Oh, we got to hold on a second. Feedback, Tony. We got to bring in Yellow and Sammy. Do we have Yellow and Sammy?
What's up, Tony?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man.
Did you see what Alfred Vega just wrote?
Yep.
Who had that discussion yesterday?
Me and you.
That's right. And who proposed? It was you. Yellow says to me, okay, Tony, the Flyers give Cole Caulfield $10 million a year. And full disclosure, by the way, even though Sammy's got a Camilleri jersey in the background, Sammy's a Philadelphia Flyers fan. All right? Nobody's perfect. And Daniello says to me, what if the Flyers give him $10 million a year? I said, well, you have to match it. And but I said, I don't think anyone's going to offer sheet him, but you would just have to. And he says, yeah, but you can get four first-round draft picks. I said, I understand that, but are they going to score 40, 45, or 50 goals? Because Caulfield will.
So.
And he goes, yeah, but, you know, the Flyers, four picks. I mean, those could be, like, some really, really good picks. And I said, yeah, but how many times have we seen a team draft players in the first round and those players never ended up making it to the National Hockey League? Or if they did, some of them were busts.
So do you really believe out of the four picks that they get, so this year would be that they have the fifth, and then they'll get the seventh of the Flyers. So do you really believe out of the four draft picks – they won't hit on two of them? If they do that, they're really doing a bad job scouting. So you're going to get four to five picks. So you don't believe two of them are going to be good enough to match Cole Caulfield? I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, but, you know, like
it's not Florida, guaranteed, of course. It's not guaranteed.
Yeah, but if the Flyers at Caulfield,
yep,
they might end up, it's not one player, but what I'm saying
they're still far away.
No, but they can go from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. So now all of a sudden, you know, you're not drafting in the top 10 anymore. It's not inconceivable to think that they could be a playoff team. I mean, the Florida Panthers were, you know, they got in by one point, and now they're in the Stanley Cup final. They're probably going to win the cup. I mean, stranger things have happened in hockey.
I agree. And then you can know, see the same thing that they can get.
I'm trying to see the reaction of the fans in the stands in Dallas. That
I don't think anybody's going to offer him that sheet just because of the draft picks. I don't think anybody's going to be willing to give up four or five picks. I really don't.
Let's see some of the comments coming in. Hold on a second. I would match, but play devil's advocate. Take the pick and trade for Keller.
You see what Alfred Vega just said? Tony, a Philly, a playoff team, a question mark? Look at their roster. I agree with him.
But I understand. But you don't understand. I know they're not. I know they're not. But what I said was, what if they end up making the playoffs? Then all of a sudden, that pick that you think is going to be a top 10 pick is not a top 10 pick anymore. And by the way, there's a lot of top 10 picks that don't end up having great careers in the National Hockey League.
Yep. But do you really believe that somebody would give up four or five picks and plus $10 million? I don't think so. Tough.
Well, if it's anywhere between... if it's up to $10.4 million and somebody's texting it now It's two firsts, a second, and a third. Okay. It's not four firsts. Okay. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think you'd have to go over the 10.5 and over. So, I mean, that's not going to happen. You know what? I don't think Cole Caulfield's getting offer sheet.
No, I think he's still going to be here. I think he's still going to be here. I don't think the Habs are too stressed about that. There's no hurry, really. It's just a
Caulfield is going to be signed before July 1st, says José Lévesque.
I agree with her. I agree. No rush.
I'm surprised that 66 spinning is not on tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Every time José's on, he's there with his flashcards, this, that, whatever. He's all excited.
Yeah.
No?
He came prepared last time.
Hey, was Caden Gooley really something last night or yesterday, or was he something?
Honestly, he might, after meeting him, he might be my favorite Hab.
He's really something, eh? I was blown away by his maturity.
Yep.
His humility.
Yep.
Down to earth. Polite. Single person. Well mannered.
Yep.
Autographs for everybody, pictures for everybody, time of day, asking people how they're doing. Wow, blown away.
You see what Joe Manella wrote there?
I spent some time away, 2 hours with Caden Gooley yesterday, about 2 hours with Michael Matheson, a month and a half before that. Those guys are like two of the nicest guys ever. Like, really amazing guys who are going to be here for a long time.
I agree.
Especially Gooley.
Yep, I agree.
You would think, right?
Super, super. He was super.
What did Joe write?
He said, what happens if Tony gets an offer sheet? Does Agnello match it?
My previous job, I was there for 19 and a half years. And I was offered more money elsewhere. And I stuck it out. Yep. I stuck it out until it really was time to move on, where there was not much else to accomplish. I felt I would have just stagnated in the position, and the podcast represented a beautiful challenge. It still does. And I'm convinced, because we're going to be able to take this podcast and make it more popular than the show was. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do, because one of them, you're working for a big, big corporate media giant. And the other one, you're working with for Sammy and Agnello out of their home in Kirkland, Quebec. And so to be able to take this podcast and make it bigger than the radio show, working for a huge media giant, a sports symbol in the country, we have ourselves a big, big challenge in front of us, but we're excited about it.
We love it.
We love it. We eat, live, sleep, breathe podcast 24 hours a day. Agnello and I are on the phone. How long are we on the phone? Is it safe to say that we talk 20 times a day and 3 hours a day?
Is that safe to say? It's safe. Is it safe to say that I want to change my phone number?
You have one on hold or what?
Yeah, I have one on hold.
Hey, I got the perfect number for you.
Yeah, I have one on hold.
I got the perfect number for you.
Yeah, 1-888-585-7425.
That's a good one. That's 1-888-585-SICK. 1-888-585-7425. It's toll free. But if you want to get yourself a mobile, get the say 1-0, 1-0, say 2.
And the guy just said it. Tony, the one deciding your next contract is actually Sammy. He's right.
Did we sign that deal yet or what?
Of course we did.
We haven't signed it yet. Don't say of course we did. We haven't signed it yet.
You're untouchable.
We are. So I said this story the other day on BPM Sports as the Vegas Golden Knights are taking their picture. And on May 27th, a couple of days ago, it was my 1 year anniversary of leaving my old job and deciding to go full time with the podcast. And I gave some details of how it kind of all went down. BPM Sports, otherwise known as 91.9 FM. I had a discussion with them. I've had a couple of discussions with them over the years, but they really wanted to bring me on board 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, I went there. I went to their office. We had a meeting. We discussed the possibility of going over. And just in the end, I wasn't ready for it. I didn't want to move on. I wanted to stay where I was, and I thought I still had some unfinished business, and I felt indebted to everyone who listened to me and stuff like that. And then they reached out again. Probably it was in, I'm trying to think, it was probably at some point in April. And they said, all right, let's get straight to the point. Would you be interested in coming to work for us? And I said, I'll get straight to the point. I'm trying to build my podcast, trying to build a sick podcast, have very, very high hopes for it. And, if there's going to be some interference with the podcast and there's certain things I won't be able to do and there's going to be certain restrictions or if there's going to be problems going forward, well, then the answer to that is no. There's no chance. And they said, hey, we don't have a problem with you doing a podcast. If anything, we'll help you promote it. And I said, now you're speaking my language. So, that was the first conversation. And then I saw Jean-Charles Lajoie. At one point, and that was maybe, it probably happened before April then. It probably happened in February, the first contact, or March. I don't remember. Probably February, because then I saw Jean-Charles Lajoie at a Patrice Bernier fundraiser. And he said, did BPM Sports reach out to you? Because I heard they did. And I said, off record, yes, they did. And I said, there's no chance if there's going to be a problem with my podcast. And if there's no problem, then we can talk. And he said, yeah, there won't be a problem with that. But he said, what is it going to take to get you out of where you are? And I said, well, just... I don't know. Let's discuss it. And then he touched base with his employer at TVA Sports as well. And they reached out to me and they were both, they both reached out and I put them in touch with my agent and they were talking with him. And, when I ended up walking away, I still hadn't accepted the offer from the radio station or the TV station, but I knew that I wanted to move on and build a podcast. And if I would have stayed doing radio in English, the podcast is less effective because if you're doing 3 hours of English radio and then you're doing a podcast, the novelty wears off a little bit. But if the only place that people can listen to you in English is the podcast and nowhere else, well, then, there's a chance that you can sustain it a lot longer and probably take it to a higher level. So I decided to move forward with the podcast. And then as word got out that I handed in my resignation, then BPM Sports and TVS Sports got a hold of me a couple of hours later and came back to the charge. And then I gave them a verbal agreement, both of them, and ended up signing, contracts. Months later, but I gave a verbal agreement to both. And what was cool is after working in the business for 19 and a half years and getting a 1 year contract in year one and never being able to get a multi-year contract thereafter ever, what was cool is both entities, the radio station and the TV station, gave me long-term commitments, which was pretty cool and makes you feel pretty good about yourself because you finally realized that the hard work paid off. And so I'm saying this because somebody gave a comment of, did you sign the contract yet with Salmon and Yellow? Well, we haven't signed yet, but I can tell you that we're on the verge of signing a long-term deal because this is going to be a long-term project. So we're on the verge of signing a long-term deal. And so I got a multi-year deal with BPM Sports. I got a multi-year deal with TVS Sports. And, you know, we're very, very close. We just have to dot the I's and cross the T's. We're on the verge of signing a five-year deal of committing to each other. So we're in this for the long run, and we got some big plans. We're going to have a big event in either July or August, and that's it. So thank you, everyone, for the support. It was, I've said this story before, but, you know, for the first 12 or 13 years of radio, I was like, it was pretty much minimum wage money. If you took a look at, you know, the hours I was working and what I was earning and, you know, I love what I do. So it never felt like work, even though it was. Worked weekends for the first 10 years, worked post-game shows up until 5 or 6 years ago. But this is all I've ever wanted to do is talk sports for a living or talk Habs. And now the podcast world, it's a different world, right? Because instead of working radio where you're talking about all sports, this is kind of like a streaming concept. So this one here is a Montreal Canadiens podcast. People come here to hear Montreal Canadiens talk. And then we also have another podcast where we give you CF Montreal. And maybe who knows, one day we're going to come out with a podcast. We're going to give you the Montreal Alouettes. Or who knows, maybe one day we're going to change time slots and we're going to go sometime in the afternoon. And we're going to do a podcast that's going to resemble a radio and a TV show. It'll kind of be like a hybrid, which is something that has crossed our minds too. So we have a lot of things up in the air that we still haven't decided on. But what we have decided on is that we're going to make a long-term commitment to each other. And the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro and the Sick Podcast in general is going to be around for a very, very long time. So anyway, I went on, I rambled a little bit, but, you know, I felt like, you know, some of you should probably deserve an update, and I gave it to you. So that's it. Do a gambling podcast so you can get that cabbage. And Yellow, what's the chances that we're going to do a gambling podcast?
There's a good chance. There's so many of them coming on. I don't know. That market is going crazy. Like, everything is turning to gambling.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But there's a big possibility.
There's a possibility.
We are definitely going to do a gambling segment. That's one of the things in the future.
So, on sports, like a sports book type of thing.
Yeah, we have a lot of big things coming up. Next season will be a different show completely. It's going to be fun.
Different show completely, eh?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to improve a lot. As good as it is, it's going to improve a lot.
MJ says, how about a Bleu Nuit after show? We're not going to do that.
No, that we're not doing.
No, we're not going to do that.
You never know with Tony, but yeah.
No. So, Tony, will you sign more years than Caulfield? No, I would. Well, I would think that Caulfield probably is going to sign more.
Somebody just asked about an NFL podcast, but we have different cities already.
Yeah. So how many cities now? 11, 12?
I think we're at 10, 11. We have a few right now we're about to sign.
Yeah, where?
Hopefully we'll get to 15, 12, right?
You're going to give me that info? Where are you planning on opening next?
I think we're trying to do Boston next.
Boston would be a great market.
What's the other one?
Boston, Philadelphia would be a great market.
Philadelphia is the other one.
Philadelphia, see?
Those are the two we're talking to right now.
Boston and Philadelphia are two amazing markets.
Yeah, those are the two we're talking about.
Considering you already have New York and you already have Vegas too. Yeah. You know, New York's a great market. Vegas a great market.
And then we're talking to Memphis for basketball. We'd love to do a Raptors one. We'll see. Maybe we're going to do a nice Raptors one. We're Raptors fans.
Raptors would be good.
Yeah, Raptors would be good.
Raptors would be good.
Even Blue Jays would be good. We're lacking.
Alfred Vega says, Tony, your viewers are not only in Canada, they're in the States too. I'm in the States. Yeah, they are. Yeah,
of course, of course. They're everywhere.
We're actually ranked worldwide. We're ranked in Mexico. We're ranked in the UK.
I think we were number two in Singapore today.
We were number two in Singapore today.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's number one in Singapore?
Let me check if I can find it. I'm not sure.
Skoy says he's in the Caribbean right now as we speak.
God bless him.
Who's better than him? Nobody. He's in Punta Cana.
Let me see if I can find a few. Hold on.
By the way, I went to La Romana last year. I absolutely loved it. If you're planning on going to Punta Cana, go to La Romana instead. Punta Cana, I believe, is the Atlantic Ocean, and La Romana is the Mediterranean Sea. And there's a coral reef. You're not going to get any seaweed over there. Go to La Romana. It's beautiful.
Can't find it.
Scores is listening live from Afghanistan.
Wow.
Alfred's in Los Angeles. Skoy is in Punta Cana. And Jordan says, you guys are doing great with amazing content. Keep it up, boys. Gary's in Toronto.
How come it's not popping up now? I can't see it.
Probably has something to do with your age.
Yeah, probably. Hold on.
Take a pill. Oh, you mean on the, sorry. Yeah. Confused for a second there.
He's so stupid.
This is riveting that you're looking for Singapore to see who's ranked number one.
No, I know. Hold on.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, because everyone wants to know who's ranked number one in Singapore.
You're the one that's asking the questions.
Well, I thought you said we're number two in Singapore. I figured you would know who number one is.
Like in 50 different countries. How do you want me to do all that?
Joe's in Ottawa. Alex is in Nova Scotia. Jean Maurice is in Blainville.
We're number three in Singapore.
Now we're number three in Singapore.
Number one is the Chris Johnson show.
Yeah.
And then the Athletic show. And we're number three.
We're number three in Singapore. We got to beat those guys.
We're number four in Israel.
We're number four in Israel.
Yeah.
George Larac was in Israel on the weekend. Did you see that?
Four, yeah.
Went to his agent's son's wedding.
Number four in Vietnam.
We're number four in Vietnam.
Number four in Trinidad.
Four in Trinidad.
Number two in St. Kitts.
Two in St. Kitts.
It's really crazy when you think of it. Number 12 in Italy.
No, but listen to me. You know what's crazy? We should call up a resort in St. Kitts.
That's a good
idea. Tell them we're the number two ranked podcast in St. Kitts.
You guys
should set us up with a penthouse on the beach there. And we're coming down to do the show from there all the time. Think about it.
That's a great idea.
You don't think outside the box, I'm telling you.
No. If we do every country that we're rated on, we'll be away like 52 weeks of the year.
It's not a bad thing to be away.
It's not a bad thing at all.
It's not a bad thing. I could see myself doing this as podcast live from St. Kitts.
Yeah.
We're number 12 in Italy today?
Yeah, number 12 in Italy. It's good. Very good.
We're happy. We're growing everything. Tony, do a segment on you giving beautiful relationship advice. I don't know how that's going to go.
Oh, I don't know about that, guys. Let him stick to hockey. I don't know about that. Let him stick to hockey.
Hey, guess what? At one point, I thought we were going to go a little short. And as it stands, it's 10:58. Right. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
What do we have on tomorrow night?
I don't know yet. Okay. Am I supposed to know?
Usually you do.
I don't know yet. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to have on tomorrow night. Okay. I do know that that's it. Miami Heat to beat the Boston Celtics 103-84.
They demolished them.
And the Miami Heat have an appointment with the Denver Nuggets for the NBA championship. So now let me take a look at my parlays.
So you got two Florida teams in the final.
Okay. I have a couple of parlays. Are you ready? Tell me which one you think I have the best chance on. You ready?
Yep.
My first parlay. I have Vegas and Denver.
Good.
My second parlay, I have the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers.
That's the one you'll probably make the most money with.
The one that I was going to make the most money with was the Miami Heat and the Dallas Stars, and Dallas lost. I had that one too.
It's crazy that both games were blowouts tonight.
Yeah, this Dallas losing by a score of 6-0 reminds me of the 1991. I think it was 91. Was it 91 Cup Final? When Pittsburgh went into Minnesota and beat the North Stars by a score of like 8-0. You remember that game?
Yep. Hey, you got 2 8 seeds teams from Florida.
What happened in that game?
Which game is that?
Well, you said you remember it. 1991 Stanley Cup Final. Pittsburgh 8-0 winners versus Minnesota in game 6. There was one play that stood out like no other play in that game. Do you remember it?
No.
You got to remember it.
Maybe when you tell me.
Mario Lemieux scored a highlight reel goal that game. He split the defense and he beat John Casey. It was a highlight reel goal. It was a highlight reel goal.
2 8 seeds are in the final from Florida.
I think he scored a highlight reel goal in game 2, and he scored a highlight reel goal in game 6.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He made everyone look like a pylon on the play. It was absolutely fantastic. It was unbelievable. That's the one player. Out of all the players, we should do a show on this. That's the one player out of all players, out of all athletes, of all sports, that you wish he could have been injury free and healthy.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He was amazing.
Yeah,
he was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, he was amazing.
Yep. Okay,
all right. Okay.
Let's call it a night.
We'll call it a night.
Yep.
Why aren't we doing these shows from your pool? Tomorrow, look, tomorrow, let me bring up the weather, okay? Montreal, okay?
Yep.
I want you to see something, all right? All right. Montreal, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
We can do a pool pass. We can try it.
Hold on a second. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Look at the weather.
I know. It's supposed to be phenomenal.
Phenomenal, you say? Look at this.
Yep. 28, 30. Wow.
28, 30, 32.
Wow.
Don't you think the next 3 nights we should be broadcasting live from your backyard, pool party?
I don't know how good the sound is going to be. We have to try it.
Oh, because we're not closed in a room. Of course, the sound is going to...
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
We can try it.
I don't think people will really care, you know? You and your Speedo, you jump in the pool. Me and the Speedo.
Yeah, I wear a different color one every night.
Okay. Have a good night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. They're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. Ciao for now.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida DB. Embrace your true nature.